One phrase more than any other that is misused in our day amongst Christians is the phrase, "The Lord spoke to me," or "The Lord told me," or "The Lord led me," or "The Lord guided me." A number of years ago, a good Christian friend of mine gave me a lot of periodicals. He had just retired from the pastorate, and he gave me a large collection of these little magazines entitled The Prairie Overcomer, publication from the Prairie Bible Institute in Alberta, Canada. They're very, very helpful little booklets, and these ones go from 1970s right through to the early 1990s. And there's one that I've read a number of times, and the article by T.S. Rendell, the principal of that institute, is simply entitled, "The Lord Led Me, But Did He?" The Lord led me, but did he? And I just wanted today, for a few moments, to read some of the excerpts from this little article, because so easy we can use that little phrase, "The Lord led me," but maybe the Lord hasn't been leading at all, and we're taking the name of the Lord in vain, which is a very serious thing to do. You can read about that in the prophecy of Jeremiah. The prophet said, "The Lord has spoken unto us," but the Lord declares, "I haven't sent them, I haven't spoken to them." And yet they ran, and yet they prophesied. Let me just read some excerpts from this little periodical. "It is our conviction that no phrase relating to practical Christianity needs more use than the claim, 'The Lord led me.' It is possible to employ the phrase, but at the same time be violating basic principles of divine guidance, misusing the Bible. Some of God's people glibly say, 'The Lord led me,' and then point to a verse or clause of Scripture as the basis for their guidance. But it is possible to extract from the Bible phrases and segments of sentences and employ them as justification for some course of action that we have already decided upon. The words of the Bible are then taken in the sense we have decided previously to give them." 2 Peter 3:16, the apostle referred to the fact that Paul's letters are in some things hard to be understood. Then he indicated that certain people, unlearned and unstable, wrest these scriptures, as they do also the other scriptures, to their own destruction. We can derive maximum benefit from the Bible by paying careful attention to the original meaning of Scripture and seeking to determine the abiding principles illustrated by each individual Scripture passage. There is no need for us to wrest Scripture out of proportion and perspective in order to glean some personal blessing or divine direction. Then he speaks about erratic impressions. "The Lord led me." Some Christians make this claim on the basis of feelings and impressions that afterward prove to be erratic and erroneous. Knowing how feelings in the stomach region fluctuate and may be determined even by our diet, we should be careful not to claim guidance on the basis of these alone. That God sometimes gives a believer a strong inner conviction as to the next step to be taken, this is a far cry from the claim that God leads constantly by feelings in the pit of the stomach. Changing circumstances. In seeking guidance, many Christians look to circumstances to direct them. "The Lord led me through a chain of circumstances." That is the testimony of some of God's children. Yet the evidence of circumstances is not to be swallowed hook, line, and sinker. In the case of disobedient Jonah, Jonah chapter 1, the circumstances he faced at Joppa seemed remarkably providential. When he arrived at the seaport, there was a ship ready to sail. Upon inquiry, he determined that it was going in the very direction he wanted to go. And more than that, the ship's captain was willing to take the prophet as a passenger. But read the rest of Jonah chapter 1, how soon the circumstances changed to indicate not God's displeasure, but rather his displeasure. The storm that Jehovah hurled against Jonah was proof that he was not in the will of God. Then conflicting counsel. To seek godly counsel is entirely biblical. When we find ourselves at a crossroads without a map or a signpost, it is wisdom to seek advice from fellow pilgrims. But sometimes the counsel we receive is conflicting. King David had a wonderful personal vision of building a temple for God at Jerusalem. Stirred by this glorious scheme, the king confided in Nathan the prophet, who immediately responded, "Go, do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee." But Nathan was wrong. And that night the word of the Lord came to the prophet, indicating that he had been given the wrong counsel to David. It was not God's will that David should build the temple. God had great plans for David and his family, but those plans did not include David's building of the temple. This must have been a blow to David, but accepting God's revealed will, he worshipped the Lord and submitted his will to that of the Lord's. And then at the end of the article, Mr. Rendell writes these words: "The Lord led me." According to Luke 5, 1-11, Peter the big fisherman was led by the Lord. You remember the story, don't you? Peter's been out fishing all night with some of the other disciples. They have toiled all night and they have taken nothing. And whenever they arrive back on the shore the next morning, the Lord exhorts them to go out and to let down the net once again. Mr. Rendell says, read again his response. "Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." Master, the first word is important. It is not the word for rabbi or the word for Lord. It is the word for superintendent, manager, or just simply boss. That means that Peter put the whole situation into Christ's hands. He resigned his position as boss of the situation and recognized Jesus as the manager. Temporarily, he was putting his boat and his nets under Christ's authority. "Master, we have toiled all night and taken nothing." Peter confessed his failure, and that must have been hard for Peter to do. Peter, with all his experience and background and skill in fishing lore, has to admit that their most recent fishing trip has been a failure. Peter has come to the end of himself. "Master, we have toiled all night and taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, we will let down the net." It was Peter's decision, however, reluctantly made, that transformed his failure into success, for we read that whenever this was done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net brake. It was Peter's submission to Christ's authority that resulted in this miracle. This is perfect.